It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
Joining us once again today, this Wednesday afternoon, is Pastor Sainz Marandure, who's going to be helping us understand a few things about God and godliness. And our question for today is, what is the nature of divine forgiveness? You know, every time people use the word divine as a prefix to something, it's almost manipulative. It's almost a form of manipulation so that you don't dispute it because there's this word divine before it. You know, divine love, divine forgiveness. And some people even go as far as say divine anger. What? Divine anger? Divine retribution. Every time people use the word divine as a prefix to something, they usually want to manipulate you so that you don't go against it because it's divine. Today, we're going to learn what exactly divine forgiveness is. We know what the dictionary says, but then again, there's this prefix divine. What is the nature of divine forgiveness? Pastor Sainz Marandure, good afternoon to you. Welcome back. And thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us again.
A very good afternoon, and how are you?
I'm well, thank you very much, Mfundisi. I really appreciate your time. I trust you are well, too?
Oh, we are very much well, by God's grace.
Lovely. Our question for today, question is, what is the nature of divine forgiveness, Mfundisi?
Okay. Everything comes back to the basic, which is forgiveness.
Okay.
Which anyone can apply, anything can apply, animals they do, human beings they do as well. It's just forgiveness. And forgiveness, as we all know, it's just something that has been done and it was not good according to the person that you have erred.
Right.
But one chooses to say, okay, fine, let's forget about this thing. Let's go back to where we have been before this thing happened. Now right. That's forgiveness. Yes, now that's forgiveness. So now the moment you apply the word divine as a prefix now, we tend to somehow abuse that as fellow human beings, because divine forgiveness, normally it's something that comes from God. Now it's the forgiveness that God, that's man, and not something that's between man and fellow man. Maybe whereby we could have then say, let's replace the word divine and say God's forgiveness.
Okay.
Something like that.
Okay.
Yes, but can't you say God's forgiveness and divine forgiveness are different things?
Yeah.
That's not true. That can be. However, the forgiveness that we find from God is different from the forgiveness we may find from fellow human beings.
Okay.
Because fellow human beings will tell you that I've forgiven you, but on condition, and may say, okay, fine, there's no condition, I've just forgiven you, but they still remember and they are still counting, they're banking on what they and yes, which they can actually remind you later on,
right,
on what they for you exactly.
Right.
But God's forgiveness is some amnesia in that, because it comes with him for even forgetting what you've done.
Is it?
And he does. Forgetting what you've done, he simply chooses not to remember. And that makes it different from us and God. And also another aspect from God's forgiveness, which makes it different with us, is that with us, we may forgive you. Yes, we're forgiven. You're my friend. Yes, he says, I'm sorry for what I did. Yes, he says, right, it's fine. However, we don't totally restore our relationship and our nature of our friendship before this thing happened. Now, we may continue as friends, but I'm now very careful. Now, trust issues. I'm now calculating every move that you're doing. I'm now a bit extra careful, and also that's if we actually continue. But some, they will not even continue. They'll say, no, I've forgiven this person. Yeah, we talk, but you talk when you meet, when you just say hi.
Right,
and
right.
That really not those kind of people would be getting along like that. But with God, it's different. He still act as if nothing happened. And when you meet us with God, you say, ah, these people, ah, they don't even belong to each other. They are just a bit, but it's still the same relationship that we had before this thing happened. So
let me present to you some situations which somehow are at odds with what you're suggesting, Mfundisi. You know, the Bible we read, both in the Old and New Testament, see Bathsheba, who was the wife of Uriah, as the wife of Uriah, even though she was now married to David. Every time you read in the scripture, Bathsheba, the scripture makes a point of reminding us that who is the wife of Uriah. In the New Testament, when it tells us about the genealogy of Jesus, it talks about Bathsheba, who was who is the wife of Uriah. What happened to the God's amnesia? Why are we still talking about Uriah and yet God allegedly forgave David? What happened? What happened to that amnesia that you're talking about? God has his chosen nation traverse a territory that goes through the land of Amalek. And the people of Amalek are so fearful of Israel that they try to do a preemptive strike and attack the Israelites and deprive them of food. And God says later on, much later on, yes, later on, Fundis, when now there is a king who is Saul, God says to Saul, go and kill Amalek. Remember what Amalek did. What happened? What happened to his amnesia? This God still remembers what happened centuries before. What happened to his amnesia? Now he wants not only to pay revenge, but he wants a genocide against the Amalekites. Kill them. Men, women, children, infants, suckling babies, animals, everything. What happened to God's divine forgiveness? What happened to this divine forgiveness that has amnesia? It seems as though, Mfundisi, this God is writing down all the sins of the people that they have committed from day one up until the day of judgment. And when day of judgment comes, he will open the books. What happened to the amnesia? EP amnesia. Where is this divine forgiveness? If there is a book that is going to be opened and you're going to be shown the path of your life, what happened to the amnesia? The divine forgiveness. Aye, Mfundisi, help me understand.
Yes. So this is the understanding there.
Right.
So with the Amalekites, they did what they did against the children of God, and they never asked for forgiveness for what they did. And he remembers. That's something about God. He does not forget.
So you were mistaken to say he's got amnesia. He forgives and he has amnesia.
When you ask for forgiveness and say, Lord, I'm sorry for this thing. Then he says, just say, okay, fine, I've forgiven you. Fine, I've forgotten about this thing. Okay, let's go. But when you choose to do something and you don't ask for forgiveness, okay, he remembers. Just like even someone who would have done wrong things for me, I remember. And I would know that, no, this person did something wrong and never asked for forgiveness. I remember this person never said, I'm sorry.
What about Peter? So what about Peter, Mfundisi? Let's nip this in the bud, Mfundisi. Peter never asked for forgiveness. Peter never asked for forgiveness. This is the very same Peter who lied through his teeth that he doesn't know God, Jesus. He denied, after I have been being warned by Jesus that you're going to deny me three times before the cock crows. He says, no, I'm not going to. He lies to Jesus in the face. I'm not going to do that. He never asked for forgiveness for lying to Jesus. He never asked for forgiveness for actually denying Jesus three times. No forgiveness whatsoever. But Jesus forgave him anyway.
No, for Peter, the Bible says, after the third time and the crow had made its cry, he met his eyes met with the eyes of Jesus, like Jesus saying, I told you, you're going to.
He never asked for forgiveness, though, Mfundisi. Those eyes meeting is not asking forgiveness.
No. So the Bible then just says he ran away in sorrow because he was like, what? I did this. No, we don't know what happened in his heart. How those you see forgiveness, we normally hear. We all wait to hear. Wait, exactly what this person say? I'm sorry. Wait, this person say? I'm sorry. And yet, forgiveness can actually happen in my heart.
Yeah. So how do we know that the Amalekites never ask for forgiveness?
Because of what happened?
How do we know they never asked for forgiveness?
What makes us to know that they never asked forgiveness is because God still remembered to pay them back for what they did.
But where do you get it in the scripture, Funis, that the God punished them because they never asked for forgiveness? That's exactly what I was driving at, Mfonis, that we seem to have our rules and regulations that are not Bible-based, and that's what we need to establish. That this concept of divine forgiveness seems to be an amoeba. It's shapeless. It shifts and shifts and shifts. We know for a fact that there's no record of them asking for forgiveness. And the same way, there is no record of Peter asking for forgiveness, but one seems to have been forgiven, and the other one, God remembers their iniquity centuries down the line and orders their genocide.
Exactly. So, like what we said, we cannot have everything written in the Bible.
Right.
However, what we know and what we are coming up with is coming up with the actions that follow after a certain thing has been said.
Right.
Like you said, we are having people like, the wife of Uriah.
Yes, Bathsheba.
We are told of Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah. It seems God is still remembering and is not even removing the name,
ask for forgiveness, eh?
Yeah, he's not even. And also, we are not even told again where even the wife of Uriah actually verbally said, I'm sorry. We're only told of David apologizing, Nathan. But we're not also told where exactly did this wife by herself ask for forgiveness for what she did.
Yeah.
No, we are not told about that again. But however, the Bible again then says, if you can actually follow the Bible as a student, you can tell we don't have people being called by their surnames. You can actually have now signs Marandure, son of Timaeus.
Right.
Everyone just being called by trying to identify with another person, trying to identify with the place where we've got Mary Magdalene.
Yes.
But we all know what he was doing, Magdalene. You know, like,
Magdala is the place. You're right.
Trying to identify with someone, you see that there was no father for this person or whatever it is.
Right.
But however, it doesn't mean when God forgives you, the scars that sin brought to you will automatically be also deleted. What it means is God has forgiven this action, this thing that you have done, He has forgiven you, but man, you remain a sinner, even forgiven. There's no way you can say, hey, God forgave me. Guys, now I'm a holy person. This morning, I talked to God, He forgave me. I'm a holy person. Sin still strives with us. It will be gone when we get to heaven. Then coming to this very critical question you asked, you say, but look here, what is happening with God's forgiving amnesia, whatever it is?
Right.
Because it's still, we're not told explicitly where this person said, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But yet, we see this person seemed to have been forgiven because he's still enjoying the benefits. Actually, he's being told, feed my sheep. He's being given it.
Yeah, so this is dependent on how we feel, Gamfundis. In the finalness, what you're telling me is that this divine forgiveness is not really a biblical phenomenon. It's a human interpretational tool. When we interpret it as that, then it is that way. So there is no such thing as divine forgiveness. Would I be correct to say there is no such thing? Because, again, you're telling me because not everything is written in the Bible, we see for ourselves that, with this one, he's enjoying. That one, he's not enjoying. This one. So it's dependent on how we feel and how we see things as readers of the Bible. Is that it?
With the Bible, it's how we see.
Yeah.
It's how we see the Bible, and again, it's what's written in there.
Right,
like we said, we divine forgiveness. It's just a matter of saying this is God's forgiveness. This we can't really say, here's divinity here. God here is. We can't really. But what we learn is that God is a way of forgiving.
Right.
And He replaces, or rather, He reinstitutes what was there before He forgave me. And He's not a God who then say, I forgive you, but on this condition, and I'll keep remembering. And again, forgiveness, like we agreed, we cannot say there's everything written that will say, this person asked for forgiveness in their hearts. This person like Jacob, openly said, I'm sorry.
Right.
And this person did not say anything. So maybe because they did not say anything,
right,
it means that they were not forgiven. They were just forgiven without even asking for forgiveness. I mean, there's nothing like that. Honestly, how can you say I've forgiven you when the person has not even asked for forgiveness?
Jacob never asked for forgiveness. Jacob never asked for forgiveness. Again, the very same Peter never asked for forgiveness. Paul, for all of his murderous ways when he was Saul, he never asked for forgiveness. So these...
Say that
again, Mfundis.
Like he just fell to the ground and the next thing we're told, you're going to receive your sight.
Absolutely. And he's given marching orders, do not become an apostle. No asking for forgiveness whatsoever.
So you see, there's one other thing, maybe aspect we may need also to appreciate.
Right.
I'm just saying we are simply appreciating because there's no way we can
exhaust
the study of God. You know, there's no theologian here on earth who will say, I now know everything about God.
That's impossible.
In fact, there's no way human being can know how God operates, because the moment you know how God operates, he ceases to be God.
Okay.
So all we can do is simply following what he has done and say, okay, these are his attributes, but we still don't know exactly what he does. So there's a possibility also that, like, I like the example you gave of Paul. he never sat down and said, hey, this thing that I'm doing are wrong.
Let me repent.
He never did that, but he was actually followed, and he had to be dealt with somehow. And from there, I think the pain of what he had experienced was quite painful. He said, I don't think I have to go back to that thing.
Paul forgiven for all his Saul behavior?
So we suppose so. That's what I'm saying. Okay. What God does, because honestly, he never said in his heart, I don't want to do this. Let me try to do things right. But God forgave him.
Yeah.
He instructed him.
So in your question, Funis, that was saying, how can you be forgiven if you have never asked for forgiveness? So we have these many characters who have never asked for forgiveness. Abraham, for all his idolatrous ways, he never asked for forgiveness. Moses, for being a murderer, he never asked for forgiveness. Jacob, for being a manipulative, incessant liar, he never asked for forgiveness. Almost all these protagonists in our patriarchal lineage never asked for forgiveness, but we believe that God forgave them anyway. So perhaps there is no need for anyone to ask for forgiveness. This divine forgiveness falls whether you ask for forgiveness or not.
So that's now how unique and how mysterious God can operate. You and I, we can do the same sin and God will visit me just right there with the fire. But with you, you're going, you wonder, what?
Yeah.
But we are all human beings.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
why
letting him go scot-free and fire and thunder right now? So this is who God is. Ooh. I mean, he comes down and he says, Israel are now my people.
Right.
But what about with the people sides?
Yes.
Are they not your people?
Yes.
He comes to Nebuchadnezzar. I mean, Nebuchadnezzar actually is coming from slaughtering his children, and he's even feeding these four boys with pork, and they are refusing.
Yes.
And he says, on verse number 2, and he gives him the history of what's going to happen before he comes again. And he's not even giving Daniel that same thing. He's just saying, Daniel, come and interpret, but I'm not going to give you this thing.
Yeah.
And then they were... This is God. He does what he does with anyone, with anything. I mean, who can question him? All that I can just say to us, you know, let's try to do what is right. No, let's not do what is wrong and say, anyway, you forgive me just like what he did to
you. Yes. Yes. So now,
Solomon.
So what do we say? What then do we say, Mfundis, to this person who asked this question about divine forgiveness? What is this nature? It seems as though there is no nature of this divine forgiveness. It's applied unevenly. To some, there is forgiveness. To some, he will remember centuries and committed genocide against you. To some, he lets them go scot-free. No consequences whatsoever. It seems as though this concept of divine forgiveness, again, is shapeless. It has no particular shape.
With God, you can't really tell how he does his things,
Right.
because he's like what we have created, you know. With God, if the moment we get to know him,
Right.
then honestly speaking, he ceases to be God. But for the person who asked this question,
Right.
I would say God will forgive you,
Yeah.
and his way of forgiving us, which we may say divine forgiveness, he will forgive you for whatever sin that you have done. He will not say, for this sin I cannot forgive you, but for this one I'll forgive you. He does not choose, he's not selective in the sins that he
Let
deals
me give you
with.
one last example for this. One last example before you go. With Saul, he could not forgive. He did not forgive. Saul made one mistake. One mistake, one time. And God never forgave him. He never gave him another chance. Like he did with David. Oh, so many chances with David. I can't imagine. But with Saul, one mistake. It was one mistake, Mfundis. And God said, I'm done with you. You and your family.
Yes, comparing Saul and David, I mean, David was a bit remorseful when he would have done that, something that is wrong. With Saul, I mean, he was not remorseful.
He was, Mfundis. Remember, he even begged the prophet to go and appear before him. And he said, please ask forgiveness. I made a mistake. I was wrong. This is one person who acknowledged his wrong. But the prophet said, you disobeyed God. And that was it. He tried to pull him little physically, and to the extent that he tore his robe and said, the way you tore my robe, I will tear the kingdom from you. One mistake, and it was it. There was no more forgiveness for him, even though he repented and begged and begged and begged him. Oh, he begged.
So that's why we have agreed to say, hey, let's do what is right. Let's not try to be like Saul. And like being like David,
yes,
because you may never know God with, as far as you are concerned, he may rain fire on you. But one thing that I like about God,
right,
again,
right,
to those who ask for forgiveness,
right,
he attended to.
Yeah.
To those who didn't, some he gave them another chance. To some, he came just instantly on
right,
them.
Right.
But to those who we hear verbally asking
right.
for forgiveness, not so sure of the motive of Saul, though he actually said, please ask God, please. We don't know the
you
motive.
See, now, Funis, you're bringing the issue of motives now. We never spoke about motives with other people who did not ask for forgiveness. We mentioned Moses, who was a murderer. He never asked for forgiveness. We never spoke about his motives. Huh?
No. We are trying to say here, things are different. Maybe these people, we agree that these people, they never even
right.
asked for forgiveness.
Right.
They're not even remorseful.
Right.
They never said anything verbally that we know of.
Right.
We don't know what may have happened in their hearts, which we cannot tell, because that's
right.
what anyone can interpret. Let's talk about what we hear.
Yeah.
We said God is a way also of forgiving. God is a way of saying,
right.
let's go with other people, even if they've said anything or not. But there are also some people who may say, I'm sorry, and yet they have a different motive. Of course, God does those
indeed,
things.
Indeed.
But we are just, let's underline this thing. Let's not worry about what happened to Rahab.
Yeah.
She was not even a Christian to start
right,
with.
Right, right.
But she was forgiven. But she never asked for forgiveness from God. All she did was like, you guys remember me when you come back, you guys. She never said. She was not one.
Indeed.
She never said anything. But you see, she escaped the whole death and genocide that happened
yeah,
there.
Yeah.
But the assembly said, for us now, when we do what is not right, let us know that God will forgive us if we ask for forgiveness. But
all
you
right.
know what? Some people will not even ask for forgiveness.
Right.
And they'll still go on with life.
Right.
You know, but it doesn't mean that God condones sin.
Absolutely.
At times, for some, you allow them to go on.
Ah.
But eventually, he's still waiting for them to say, hey, I'm sorry. Because we can't then lie and say, when you get to heaven, there are some people who go to heaven even without even saying sorry, without even anything.
I'm done.
What's the point of worshiping? What's the point?
All right. Mfundisi, we can end it right there. I'm perfectly happy. It's God, and so we cannot box God. There is no way of putting God in. So I don't know. I'm hoping the person who asked the question is answered. Thank you very much, Mfundisi. I really appreciate your time and your insights. Let's talk tomorrow, same time, same place. Have a wonderful day further, Mfundisi.
Thank you so much. A wonderful day to you too.
All right. That was Pastor Sainz Marandre giving us some perspective, trying to answer the question, What's the nature of this divine forgiveness? Ah, I don't think there is such a thing. I don't know. I could be wrong. 3 minutes now before one. We'll take a piece of music. The Mujabula family as a deer. And when we come back, we give you the good news.
It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media. From broadcast to baptism.